I'm Brian Moline. 2015's been a year unlike any other in Illinois politics and government. Let's take a look back at the year with Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky, who says she and her colleagues covering the State House have never seen anything like it.
No, and I have been covering Illinois state government and politics for roughly a decade, give or take. And I'm not alone, however. It's people who've been doing this and involved in state government and politics for far longer, for my entire lifetime, have never gone through anything quite like this.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the players in particular. Governor Bruce Rauner, of course, sworn in for his first term in January. I'm curious your thoughts on how he's actually governed compared to maybe how you thought he might govern when he took office.
Well, when Governor Bruce Rauner was elected, I talked to a lot of people that said even if they hadn't chosen him, if they were Democrats and they were backers of Quinn, that they were looking forward to perhaps somebody who would invigorate state government, a little bit of that shakeup that you heard so often in Rauner's commercials that he'd promised for Springfield. And there was a feeling that, yeah, you know, even if we're Democrats, something needs to be done. So, okay, we'll see how this goes. Of course, there were plenty of critics going in that were not willing to give him any benefit of the doubt from the onset. And then, obviously, there were the Republicans who'd been waiting for a dozen years for this and really had, after Blagojevich, and then they said Pat Quinn, who didn't do enough for the state's finances, and they blamed for Illinois' economic problems and fiscal issues, were so ready for a businessman to be in office. And at this point, for many of them, they are ready to be done with Bruce Rauner. For those who were critics of him, and that's particularly the unions who pointed to statements that he had made in the primary and before he was actually running for governor versus the comments that he made when he was in the general election that were, he had gone from being hypercritical of unions to saying, no, I don't care at all about labor. That's not my focus, nor are social issues. My focus is just finances and the economy. He definitely has his supporters. And if you talk to Governor Bruce Rauner, and I've actually heard it happen while covering him, people that say, keep at it. This is what's needed. And other Republicans, I think, particularly some state legislators, though they're wary of saying it on the record and being too emphatic about their fears about Bruce Rauner, but that are, you know, hearing from people within their districts, learning firsthand about the pain that a lack of budget has caused. And they would either say that the jury is still out, or they give him an incomplete, or that they're pretty dismayed by how things have gone. And that, of course, includes even former Republican governors such as Jim Edgar.
I'm curious, as you look at the year for the legislature and Speaker Madigan, was there any thought that Democrats would be able to just hammer through a state budget and a corresponding tax increase on their own without any help from Republicans?
Democrats don't want to do that. They did the last time around pass an income tax hike on their own without any Republican support, and I don't think that they are ready to do that again. While at the time it actually didn't have any real consequences for them at the ballot box, only one senator who had voted for that tax increase, one Democrat, lost, and he had a lot of other troubles as well. It wasn't just a tax vote, and that was Mike Jacobs. So they fared well last time around, but I think given the governor's huge amounts of money that he has to throw into elections from here on out, they aren't going to be willing to do that. They did, I think, expect that perhaps they'd be able to get a budget passed without Republican support, which is what they did. I mean, they sent it to the governor. It's just that the governor vetoed all of it except for education funding for schools. And I think the play by Democrats may have been that, okay, Rauner will either wear the jacket by making all of the cuts, because Rauner had said that, you know, even though he's open to a tax increase, it wasn't this budget and not until he gets his way. So kind of calling his bluff and saying, all right, you go ahead and make all these cuts. He didn't do that since he vetoed the whole thing. So he didn't quite wear the jacket, because now it's this, you know, shared sense of blame, and further things have really been turned topsy-turvy because of how the courts have gotten involved in this budget arena. And I continually say that we would be in a whole different situation right now were it not for decisions handed down by judges that are allowing state workers to be paid and many segments of the social service population. So, you know, juvenile justice, for example, that are by court order still getting funded. So we'd be in a whole different picture, and that changes the whole political equation.
As you mentioned, the lone aspect of the original budget that was signed into law was the K-12 funding for Illinois schools. But higher education has not been funded at all for this portion of the budget year. How did higher education kind of get caught in the middle of this fight?
That's a good question, and it's as a reporter, you have to look at things with an eye of skepticism when, for example, just recently I covered Governor Bruce Rauner while he was touring a Chicago high school and was asked a question about just that. And he said, I support education. He wants to put more money into community colleges, which are, it's not just public universities like the University of Illinois. It's also community colleges that don't have any money right now. And the governor said that, yeah, you know, he wants education funding to be a top priority, and that includes universities. I think a whole lot of university leaders and students would say, well, wait, what the heck then? It's not just the universities. It's also, of course, those MAP grants for low-income students. And this is a governor who had been elected saying that education was a top priority, and particularly for those low-income and disadvantaged students. So I think they just caught, it's been universities have gotten caught. They used to be very powerful in Springfield, and there has been some loss of that clout. And that is in part universities, and I'm sure your audience well knows, have had some tough years, particularly the U of I, where that doesn't win them a lot of advocates in the General Assembly, where it says, hey, you've messed up time and time again. We're not going to fight for you quite as hard there. And it's also something that it's not all students. There are plenty of private university students that are able to make their way. It's not as if parents have to worry about sending their university-aged child to daycare if school isn't open. So, and further, they have enough money through tuition that many of them are able to make it without this infusion of state cash. So it's in part, it could be, I believe, a bargain that Governor Bruce Rauner is really trying to drive change. He says that he has had enough of the layers of administrators and wants some changes in the university bureaucracy, and this will be a way for him to get it. And I think it's also, like I said, just not the same amount of sympathy as there is for social service programs, but that could change again once those headlines. If you do have a university, they're going to try very hard for their own sakes. It's hard to recruit students for a new year if you're closed down shop for one semester. But if there are, in fact, schools that aren't able to open their doors spring semester or have to do massive layoffs and those headlines get national attention, we could well see somebody going to higher ed, but money going to higher ed from the state. But right now, it's a pressure point, and the lawmakers and the governor are both counting on that and really using it as a bargaining chip.
And Amanda, I thought we'd close out with something maybe a little more fun after a lot of heavy budget talk here. How about some possible New Year's resolutions for some of the players in Springfield? First, let's start with Governor Bruce Rauner.
You know, I've actually been asking some lawmakers that very question, Brian, so maybe I'll take a couple from them. I think for a lot of lawmakers, Democrats, they'd say, we need the governor to listen to us, stop treating it like a business, realize that we are a co-equal branch of government. For me as a reporter, the governor does do public availabilities, takes questions from reporters, never as much, of course, as we'd like, but there's generally like four questions. And for a guy that is a very wealthy man in his own right, he listens to his staff when they have these press people that say, last question, he listens. So I would say it's time for him to maybe disobey a little and engage more in some conversation that really gets to the heart of what things are going on. I find it refreshing whenever politicians move away from talking points, and we're seeing a whole lot of that versus reality.
then for House Speaker Mike Madigan some New Year's resolutions.
Speaking again, this is as a journalist. The Speaker is not one to always speak. In fact, be it to, according to Republicans, but in those closed-door leaders' meetings or even to the press. But this year, in 2015, he's changed that and he's had a lot of availability. So I would call on him to continue that in 2016. He is such a significant player. Same with Bruce Rauner, maybe be a little forthright about where things are at. I'm sure that for Republicans, it would be, hey, let things loose a little bit. The Speaker rules with his own sort of iron gavel, and they would love for that grip to be loosened a bit.
Amanda Vinicky is the State House Bureau Chief for Illinois Public Radio. Amanda, thank you so much for your time today, and hopefully we'll have a budget here some point in 2016.
I'm not sure. Maybe some point in 2016, but not close. But Happy New Year to you too, Brian, and thanks.